Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. Now, we love a bit of first dates around these parts. Absolutely love it. But last night's episode was something a bit different. And next week's will be too, because they may have found the one good thing that came out of COVID. And they are sitting here in front of me, all loved up. It's Jer and Jessica. Hello.
Hi.
How's it
going? Thanks for coming in. Let's talk about the date. Many moons ago. Okay. Were you both kind of reluctant daters?
No, I wasn't a reluctant dater.
You were a serial dater, were you?
I was up for the crack. I didn't, as far as, it was a numbers game for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded a bit of a lush. But no, I do you know what? I love people. I love mingling with people. So going on a date was never something I was nervous about. Mm. And somebody had mentioned this before and I thought, you know what? Why not? So we did. And I suppose it was the best thing to do in the end.
In the end, we'll get to that. Jer, what about you as a dater? Were you getting a bit bored of the scene?
Didn't like it. Mm-hmm. No. Hated online dating. And I obviously had been married. So coming out of that and going, dating again. And then I thought, sure, online dating seems great. Everyone's doing it. Horrible. Hated every second
of
it. Yeah, it's tough. Tinder and me didn't get along. So I was for a bit of crack.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Okay. Now, Jer, you were tired of hearing the same excuse all the time. I have a little clip. Let's have a listen to Jer. Here we go.
Everyone wants that instant spark. It's the magic word now, isn't it? People want to be swept off their feet immediately.
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you.
I met you for 25 minutes for a coffee and there's no spark. And like, I met you for 25 minutes.
No spark. No spark.
Yeah.
No spark. Why does that annoy you?
I think everyone's looking for something instant.
Mm.
Like, I'm sitting down here with you now. If I don't feel it immediately, it's not for me. You're like, well, sometimes you think you work on things a bit more, get to know the person. Most people aren't themselves on a first date. Nerves come into it as well. You're never really yourself. So
that's very true. And it's just in these times, everything's so disposable, even people, right? So if we don't fall madly in love in the first couple of seconds, we're like, no, let's just Tinder it. Let's just swipe again. Let's just move on to the next. Just listening to that there, do you think maybe it was a tactic to convince you that even if you didn't fancy him, you should just give it another date?
I mean, hindsight, he's on the money. Like, let's be honest, it wasn't a spark. It was definitely a flame that kind of we had to keep igniting ourselves, had to keep it alight ourselves. And no, like I don't think he had any tactics. I kind of think he went in as a complete pessimist and I think genuinely wanted to be proven wrong.
So what was it for you that you're like, no, just not for me. No spark. Here we go again. The no spark thing.
Okay. I don't think I've ever disclosed this information now. So I was pretty much up for another date. It was Jer that said, you know, I don't think this is really going
to
go.
Yeah. It's news to me.
It was you. Yeah. Oh my God.
Because you're never going to go, oh, well, I thought this was going to go really well.
Yeah, protect
Instead,
yourself.
I kind of went, you know what? You're probably right. Put the guard up. And I'm like, right, that's it. That's done now. We've tried the first date. But I think it was the text that came after that when you had kind of said, look, I think, you know, we get on really well. If you don't want to be friends, I totally understand because we're of an age where we have our friends. And I was like, don't be ridiculous. We have to talk to each other about this. We're the only two who can talk about it until this goes to air. And and then that's what happened. We talked and conversations were like 3 and 4 hours long. On the phone.
Wow.
So we actually got to know each other before. And
so
then
you had the date, no spark, knocking on, we're going to be friends. And that friendship just blossomed and grew. And you're on the phone for 3 or 4 hours.
Like a weekly check-in for a couple of hours. So a phone call might be at 9. And then, of course, COVID hit. So then the phone conversations became, you know, it was a you were just keeping each other going.
Yeah.
You know, and we couldn't see each other because of the, you know, the restrictions on travel. And Jer was living in Meath and I was still living in Dublin. So we just kept each other going. And that's when we got to kind of
know each other properly
and figure out why he was so, you know, no offense, babe, but miserable about, like, you know, you were just maybe real about, you know, your experience.
Pessimistic is the right term.
Yeah. And then, you know, you kind of aired his views. And I was like, well, maybe that's not always the case. And I kind of think I brought you around a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
So you were like a therapist.
We were therapy for each other, nearly.
Yeah, you know. But that's lovely to hear. And you do hear, so you kind of had a COVID friendship, like you're getting each other through those awful periods of time. But how, Jared, did you end up living together? So you're still friends at this stage?
We're still friends. Mm. Yeah, and we were friends. All our, my friends and your friends were like, ah, yeah, but you weren't really, you know, there was stuff going on.
Oh, yeah,
on.
We
like,
were no, totally no, in denial.
We're just friends. We're just friends. Yeah. And then the second lockdown happened, and I was living outside the 5K radius, so I wasn't seeing anybody that I knew. I had to move home. Yeah, one of our conversations, Jess said, look, I can't do a second lockdown at home. And I said, but great, because I'm on my own here. I can't do a second lockdown on my own. I have a spare room here. Why don't you come and stay here? You can keep me company, keep each other company. And then, so we did that for a year.
A year?
A year. And
God,
still
this is
friends.
Such a slow burner. This has wrecked my head.
but it was great because, again, we got to know each other. Music became a huge part of friendship.
Oh, go on. Tell us about how Jenny Green got you through. Go on. She had some kind of an influence on this.
Well, thankfully, I mean, look, everybody had something that got them through, whether it was your friendship with your people or your family. And we just found that Friday nights I was itching to go out. I just wanted to be doing the things and I wasn't doing the things. So Friday nights we'd have, you know, dance in the kitchen, and then we'd have Jenny on a Saturday night. So we'd make plans around it, whether it's cooking dinner while she's on or having a dance and a couple of drinks. So then Saturday night became our night in, but it was a night out with Jenny. And I suppose with the music aspect, you know, we would try and compete with each other to pick the best bombers we would have had as grown up as teenagers. Well,
classics.
This was a better song. So, yeah, we ended up, now we've got playlists.
Yeah.
Jer, I kind of get it now, but tell us about your brother who said you were a couple, but you didn't know it.
Yeah, Keith, when I rang my mum, because my mum's a big fan of Jess and was from day one, phone calls, my mum would be like, and how's Jess? Jess is lovely, isn't she? I was like, yeah, mum, I get it. We're still friends. And she's like, oh, I'm just saying she's lovely. And then when I rang her and said, so me and Jess are seeing each other, and she goes, yeah, Keith said last week he's in a relationship, he just doesn't know it yet. And for the last 5 months, we used to go shopping together. So we do the grocery shop together and we hang out together.
Know, what man do you know does grocery shopping?
Oh, listen, none. So do you remember the first kiss or the moment that you thought, God, we're doing this? And what was that? Where was that? Was that listening to some Jenny playing some mad house tune?
Funny enough, you weren't too far off. It was that night. It was. Yeah. Actually, no, I think it might have been. I'm trying to think now.
I was been to see Bicep in Belfast.
On the Friday. So maybe the Thursday. It was the 11th of November. We remember the 11th of the 11th as our 12 months. And it was a very frank and honest conversation with each other about how we feared we'd mess something up if we proceeded to take it any further than it was, which was...
So you have this amazing friendship. So there's a fear of losing that if you go further. Okay.
We didn't want to mess it up. We were pretty happy.
We knew where the line was, and that was the line wouldn't be crossed. We were very aware of it. Don't mess with the friendship. And then I was upstairs working, and Jess was downstairs working one day, and I overheard her on a phone call where she was saying to somebody, I've a date in mind now. I'm going to start looking, get back to Dublin now, looking to move out. And I was like, oh, I don't want to move out. Mm. And then that's when I kind of penny dropped to me. It was like, no, this is
when you realised, there was more. And then,
God, it's Jared, took you so long.
I know, yeah.
Oh, but I'd say you your family's head was melted.
Considering my friends were the opposite, they were like, don't get too heavily involved. Yeah. This is just a friendship. He's told you how he feels. And I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm going to set a date. I'm going to move out, get back to Dublin. And then the night in question, maybe a bit too much wine.
Probably a bit too much wine.
Maybe, the right amount, really, considering.
You needed a bit of oiling to have that conversation.
So that was the first kiss then.
It just came out, I don't want you to move out. And then she said, should mine move out? And I were like, so...
And then was it like verbal diarrhea after that?
There was a moment of...
Do you know what it was? It was kind of like, let's tell each other the last of the secrets we haven't disclosed. Yeah. And after that, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And we literally were like,
everything was on the table.
I just remember, and I love telling girls this, when you tell it, all the girls are like, oh my God. But there was a moment where you just kind of paused, and then he goes, come here. And he was all alpha male and kind of, you know, smoky eyes. And I was like, okay, like to go in for the hug. And he was like, no, come here, tilts my chin up and then kissed me. And I was like, okay, well,
I'm
going to
marry this man.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you went back to the scene of the crime, the Gibson, in January. And what happened, lads? Jer, what happened? Tell us.
I proposed and Jess said yes. Is the short version of it.
God,
To be fair, I might have taken ages to get to the actual dating part of a couple, but I didn't take long to get to the engagement.
No,
it was only a year.
Yeah.
So when's the big day?
November 1st next year.
Wow, what an amazing story!
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And I think we all should learn a lesson from that. I mean, there might be a spark. a spark, as Jer says, you know, that might be there an issue, but sometimes it can grow.
Yeah.
You can keep that fire alight until it's a burning fire.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to hear. Well, listen, the romance is phenomenal. And the fact that you proposed in the Gibson, just gorgeous. Lads, thank you so much for coming in. And I have to say, would you trust the first dates matchmakers to see connections that even you and your date may not initially see? I mean, hopefully you won't need a pandemic to give you that push. Well, applications for the next series are open. You can go to cococontent.ie/first dates, and we'll be back right after this. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.